Okay, let's get started. Was that Ligonier answer satisfying? Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'd like it a little bit more definitive. All right, let's start. We'll begin by praying. Lord, thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the way in which all the beauty around us declares your glory. And even when the weather is not as beautiful as it is today, that still declares your power and your might, your creation, your great design, which causes us to fall on our knees before you and bow in worship, which we do tonight. We thank you for gathering us together again tonight, and we pray your blessing upon us as we study your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning at breakfast, Mary asked me, what is the commandment tonight? And I said, do not steal. And she said, well, that's pretty straightforward. and it is. But it's one that we seem to find easy to break, that commandment. The two verses before it, it's just a two-word verse. It says, never, and then the Hebrew word literally means carry away as if by stealth. So the common translation there is do not steal, which means taking something that does not belong to us without permission. It seems like it's an easy one to kind of skirt around. I want to hand you out something. I'm going to ask you to just keep the white side up, and then we'll turn it over in just a minute. Yeah, well, there are a lot of pages in here that we could talk about. You know what follows that? Oh, wretched man that I am, you know? Okay, you can turn this over. It's the cover of Saturday Evening Post magazine cover by Norman Rockwell. And our attention is drawn, really, to the words, the Lord hates false scales, but he delights in accurate weights. But notice the two fingers. She's trying to lighten the weight. This was the Saturday night before Thanksgiving. I think it was 1935, 36, something like that. She's trying to lighten the weight, and he's got his finger on the weight. And, you know, we look at that and we smile and we say, sure, well, you know, she's trying to steal from him. He's trying to steal from her. You know, when we think about stealing, we tend to think of breaking and entering, you know, and walking off with someone's computer, or at least in my case last week, entering into my bank account and shutting it down, stealing my computer, shutting my computer down. I just, we had quite a weekend two weekends ago. That happened on a Friday. I preached at Peter's Creek on Sunday, and my Sunday sermon was in the computer that was wiped out completely. So They didn't get the sermon that I had planned for them, but they got another one. So never be without a sermon. There's any number of things that we might list as things that one should not, that fall into this category. There are individuals who pilfer public property. They steal supplies from hospitals and building sites and churches. I know that Jason has worked on numerous building sites where at the close of the day, individuals who are working on the sites just back their trucks up and they'll take, you know, 6 or 8 2x4s, you know, or a couple of bags of mortar and that kind of stuff. In a industry journal on the hospitality industry, it was reported that one hotel, after 1 year of business, had to replace 38,000 spoons, 18,000 bathroom tiles, and 355 coffee pots, and 100 Bibles. 100 Bibles. I hope they read it. Yeah. We steal from government by underpaying our taxes, making false Social Security claims. We just borrow a ream of paper from the copy room. Not we, some do. And other office materials. People pad their expense accounts. They steal from their employer by not giving a full day's work. It's been estimated that as much as 1/3 of a product's cost goes toward covering various forms of stealing that occur of getting that product to the market. There's theft in salesmanship. This is one I think is always so good. You go to buy a car and the salesman tells you, this is the best car ever made. It's perfect. Great. Okay, I'll buy it. Now, you need a warranty, you know that, for this thing. And then, of course, the worst robbing that takes place is robbing God. You're familiar with that text in Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Wherein have we robbed God? We have failed to give him the tithe that is his due. Stealing, of course, is a demonstration of our lack of love for our neighbor. If the Ten Commandments, you know, speaks about how we can love God and how we can love our neighbor, then stealing is one way that we fail to love our neighbor. The food thief makes others hungry. The cattle thief interrupts farming operations. Clothing thief causes people to be cold or be scorched by the sun. The Heidelberg Catechism says this with regard to the Eighth Commandment: God forbids not only outright theft and robbery, but also such wicked schemes and devices, such as false weights and measures, deceptive in merchandising, counterfeit money, and usury. We must not defraud our neighbor in any way, whether by force or by show of might. In addition, God forbids all greed and abuse or squandering of his gifts. I like Luther at this point. If we look at mankind in all its conditions, it is nothing but a vast, wide stable full of thieves. That's Luther. Not to put too fine a point on it, he goes on. It is the smallest part of thieves, meaning the smallest number of thieves, that are hung. If we're to hang them all, Where shall we get enough rope? We must make all our belts and straps into halters. And I'm sure that there was in Luther's time much thievery, even as is the case now. So I think that one way of looking at this is that stealing is a sin, not only against our brothers and sisters, showing a lack of love for our neighbor, but stealing is at its heart a sin against God in at least two ways. Stealing is a failure to trust in his provision and his ability and love to care for us. So if I don't trust that God will provide me with this thing, whatever this is, then I go out and steal it. And that's reflective of the fact that either we don't think God will provide it, or that God can't provide it, or that he won't provide it because deep down in our hearts we know it's not appropriate for us to have it in the first place. So it's a sin against God with regard to our trust in him to provide us what we need. And then stealing is an assault on God's provision for others. You know, everything that Marilyn has, she has from God's gracious hand, by God's intention. And if I go and I steal something from her, then I'm thwarting God's provisions for her. And that is a sin against him as well. Now, as I've thought about this, we could go verse after verse after verse that just simply underscores the simple truth of the commandment here that you shouldn't kill. Throughout the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, the whole provision, the prohibition against stealing is to be found. I'm not so sure that's all a good use of our time here tonight. You can trace that through your concordance or through the notes that are in the margins of your Bible. But what, as I thought about this, what I want to suggest to you tonight is that what stands as the bedrock of this commandment is our understanding of stewardship. Now, there are those who want to support the free market and the capitalism point of view by saying that the Bible underscores personal property ownership. I think you've probably all heard that. And certainly, this commandment doesn't make any sense if I don't have ownership of something that's stolen from me. So certainly that's true. But I don't know that the scriptures speak specifically a lot about ownership as much as the scriptures speak about stewardship. And so that's what I want to underscore for you tonight. It was about maybe 15, maybe even 20 years ago that in preparation for a stewardship sermon, I sat down, I remember clearly, sitting at my desk and saying, what is a simple but as complete as possible definition of what stewardship is? And I remember sharing that in a sermon. A couple of people said that they felt as though that was helpful. And since that time, over these last 15 or 20 years, that's become sort of the standard definition that we've used here of stewardship. If you think about the particulars of that definition, there are at least 8 to 10 points at which stealing is a violation of the Bible's teaching on stewardship. So, what is that definition? You've heard it before. Stewardship is that part of Christian discipleship whereby we recognize that all things belong to God as creator and owner, and what we have been given to us has been given to us by God as a matter of God's grace. It's to be managed by us with thanksgiving according to His direction and for His glory. And therefore, all personal decisions are stewardship decisions. That's the definition that we've been using. There may be some points that are missing there, but I think that's a good definition. Well, let me underscore how stealing runs contrary to that whole idea of stewardship. Okay, so number one, stewardship is that part of Christian discipleship. So when one is not practicing stewardship, but practicing stealing, one might be doing that within the context of Christian discipleship. Put it another way, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you know, should we be stealing? It's contrary to the Christian faith, and of course, the scriptures are replete in the New Testament that underscore that. Second of all, stewardship is that part of Christian discipleship whereby we recognize that all things belong to God. He's the owner of those things. Regardless of who has it, regardless of whether or not that individual recognizes that what they have is from God, the fact of the matter is that whether you are a believer or not, everything that you have, everything that exists, belongs to God because He made it. You know, He's the source of all of that. So when we steal something, we are taking something that actually belongs to God. Now, in our world, we may say that Marilyn owns that thing that I've stolen from her. But in the biblical worldview, what I've taken is something that has been given to Marilyn by God. It belongs to God. She's the keeper of it. I've stolen from her, so I've stolen from God. So it's an offense to Him as the owner and then as the creator. We've taken something that by God, by His intentionality, through all kinds of agency, including the creativity of human beings, has made. So the whole matter of the object that's being stolen, you know, is related directly to God as the creator, as the source, as the owner. And then, fourthly, our stewardship has to do with recognizing that what we have has been given to us by God. So I go to Marilyn and I take something from her without her permission, perhaps, you know, almost particularly by stealth. And I have said in doing that, God determined you to have this. I've determined that you're not going to have it, you know. So here's another way of us just, you know, shaking our fist, you know, at God. On top of that, because she has whatever this is, she is the one who has received God's grace. She didn't deserve it. Maybe on one level she has earned it in some way, but the bottom line is, fundamentally, is that as a matter of God's grace, God has seen to it that she has received this. And so I have determined that I am going to take an action that runs contrary to God's graciousness to her. So again, you know, this is a understanding the stewardship as relates to stealing, you know, really has to do with an offense to God. Okay. Maryland then is also directed as a steward to manage what God has given to her. And this gets me all up into her business if I steal it, you know. She's trying to manage it. She's trying to use it for God's glory, in thankfulness, all those kinds of things. But I'm going to step in and I'm just going to cut that process off. So this whole matter of God as the source of every good and perfect gift, when I steal, I'm just jumping right into the middle of that, and I'm doing things that are contrary to the purposes of God, the character of God, the will of God for the person that I'm stealing from. It is something that that action on my part, whatever it is that I'm stealing, she is directed by God, it seems to me, to be thankful for having received that. And what I have done by stealing it is I have robbed her of that desire and that activity of being thankful, because now I don't have it. And it adds a dimension here of heartache and hardship and all those kinds of things. Further, as a steward, she's to manage what she has in accord with God's direction. How will this glorify God? How will this advance His kingdom? How will it meet my needs? How will it meet the needs of others? Those are at least four things that we do when we're managing what God has given to us as His gifts. And so when I steal from her, I'm getting right into the middle of that whole process that God has established as the source of every good and perfect gift. And she's called upon to manage it for God's glory. So she has whatever this thing is. She recognizes that it comes from God. She recognizes that there are certain things that the Lord would have her do with these things, and that she's to manage all this with thanksgiving in her heart, but then to use it as well for God's glory. How does this thing, how does this opportunity, how does this relationship, how does this opportunity, all these things, how can I steward this thing or these things for God's glory? Well, the whole matter of managing and stewarding that thing is taken out of the picture when I steal from her. She doesn't have it now. So it is an offense to God. Okay? And then finally, therefore, all personal decisions are stewardship decisions. How can I steward? And we have, we've identified categories: time, talents, treasures, the big three T's. But I've added to that opportunities and relationships and that kind of thing. How can I use this in a management capacity to give thanks to God, to glorify Him for what He's given to me? How can I manage this, recognizing that it's by God's grace that I have it? How can I manage this in a way that will glorify and praise Him? I jump into the middle of that and I steal that from her. And the whole process is just sidetracked. So I think the whole matter of stealing, which we tend to think of as something that's an offense to the person who has been stolen from, which it is, shows a supreme lack of love for our neighbor, but it shows a supreme lack of love for the Lord, because He's the source of all things. And so again, stewardship is that part of Christian discipleship whereby we recognize that all things belong to God as creator and owner, as being given to us as a matter of God's grace, and is to be managed by us with thankfulness according to His directions for his glory. Therefore, all personal decisions are stewardship decisions. In some respects, you might say, any decisions that are not made with stewardship in mind is a matter of stealing from, God. What is a good steward? A good steward takes care of what he has because it really belongs to God. That's the key thing. Everything that I have belongs to God and therefore must be taken care of. I was convicted of that this afternoon. I had to go into my shop for something, and I looked at my shop. Oh, it looks like a tornado, you know, went through it. And I thought, you know, is this good stewardship, you know, of what he's given to me? Alex, you're laughing there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this stuff is his. And if I had something like, let's just say a tool that I have. A tool that I have is a matter of God, regardless of how I got it, I have it. And it belongs to him. I'm called upon to manage that in a way that honors him and glorifies him. And here it is sitting out on the bench. You know, there's a case for it. There's a place for the case to go. But because I am too otherwise engaged or too busy or whatever, when I'm done with that job, I'm tired, I just take it and I throw it onto the bench along with the tools that I've used for 25 other projects as well. Is this good stewardship? No, it's not. I've come to the conclusion that, you know, the condition that I keep my car and my truck in is a matter of stewardship. And particularly things like my car and my truck that I recognize that they were just simply, you know, God graciously entering into my life and allowing me to have these. Yes, Stephen. Yeah, that sounds good to me, but I don't think so. That's my problem. I've just got massive output. Now, I don't mean to mock you. I'm sure you have massive output.
I don't. I'm talking about someone I know.
Oh, okay. So ask me the question again. Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know that what the result of this is that therefore then before you're able to go get a cup of coffee, you have to put the tools away first. You know, I've probably said that to my kids over the years, you know, but I'm not a great follower of that. I don't want to be robbing God of his glory and acting unfaithful and ungrateful by the way in which I handle things that he's given to me. And everything that I have, he's given to me. And so when I'm not exercising good stewardship over it, and it could be all kinds of things, it really is robbing him. A good steward takes care of what he has because it really belongs to God. Secondly, a good steward works hard as the means by which God has established his gracious giving of his possessions to us. Now, I put that there because it's so easy to say, well, you know what? I worked hard for this. You know, I worked hard. I saved my money. I spurned other opportunities to use that money. And so then I went and I bought it. So that's easy to see that progression of things. You work, you make money, you spend money, you acquire something. But that is all part of God's secondary causes by which he works. His primary cause, his first cause, is that he's the giver of all these things. And so one of the ways that we receive his grace, he shows us his grace, is by giving us the opportunity to work and to make money. The book of Ecclesiastes is pretty clear on that. So a good steward takes care of what he has because it belongs to God. A good steward works hard as a means by which God has established his gracious giving of his possessions to us. And then thirdly, a good steward gives things away to others that their needs might be met. So a good steward is not stingy. What I have here could meet Alex's need. It's been given to me to manage. And so the question would be, Lord, would this honor you and glorify you and demonstrate my love for my neighbor if I gave it to Alex? See, all personal decisions with regard to resources of time, talent, money, opportunities, resources, they're all personal stewardship decisions. And when we don't act as a good steward, then we're failing to show love for our neighbor, but we're definitely showing dishonor to the Lord who owns it all. I came across this today, which I thought was pretty nifty. So I'd share it with you. Jerry Bridges, you're familiar with him, an InterVarsity guy. He's written Pursuit of Holiness and a half a dozen other books. Three attitudes toward our possessions. One, what's yours is mine. I'll take it. That's the theft perspective. Secondly, what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it. And that's the selfish perspective. And thirdly, what's mine is God's, and I'll share it or manage it. I thought those three were pretty good. What's yours is mine, I'll take it. What's mine is mine, I'll keep it. What's mine is God's, I'll share it and manage it. So, though this is a cute little picture, it's indicative of how we feel like, you know, there's little sins, little things that kind of, you know, that they strike us as kind of funny. I don't know whether people actually, you know, are stealing by trying to finagle the scales or that kind of thing, but it's indicative of how lightly we take this whole matter of stealing. Yes.
Yeah. Ron Lewis wasn't paying him or, you know, doing those types of things. And so
sure.
If he wasn't treating me correctly,
right.
It's okay for me to kind of do something here or there if I feel like I have
exactly.
to pay you what I
have. Exactly. Here's a whole rack of motor oil that's owned by the shop owner. I need a quart of oil. Is he going to miss it? You know? Well, whether or not he misses it and needs it is not the point. The point is that came from God as God's gracious gift to him, regardless of how he got it. And he has a responsibility, whether he's exercising it or not, to manage that well in a way that demonstrates his thankfulness, underscores God's graciousness, and gives thanks, you know. And I'm getting into the middle of that and robbing that. And so I'm dishonoring God, and I'm dishonoring him as well, because it is, in fact, his. It's his to manage. It's his to manage. So did you ever find out who stole from you?
No, not really. my boss was actually more sad about it than I was.
Yeah.
But we had a little meeting today, and we're like, we got till the end of the day tomorrow to turn it back in. If it's not turned in, we'll probably contact the authorities. So.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
We'll see what happens. Kind of bring it about and see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. What else on stealing? Anybody for it? I think the stewardship approach is a helpful thing, again, because I don't know that the scriptures, I don't think that the scriptures have any place where I can go to my concordance and look under O for ownership, you know, where it says specifically that that people own things, but that whole matter of we own it to the extent that we have, we do have authority over it. You know, we possess it. We have authority over its use and that kind of thing. But the Bible calls that managing something that we don't have the ultimate ownership of, but belongs to God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there are people who will say, what if the person who has them stole that thing?
Yeah.
Is it all right then to steal from them? But, I mean, that's the whole idea behind rich corporations are gouging, and so it's all right. It's not stealing because they got it illegitimately.
Right,
so
yeah.
It's all right.
Sure, yeah. Well, the difficulty I have with that is that the person who's saying that is placing himself or herself as the judge over that whole situation, you know? And he's not, or she's not. That whole matter of them stealing that, you know, is between them and the Lord. But me stealing it from them is between me and the Lord as well. You know, so, yeah, there are, you know, there's all kinds of discussions about, you know, corporate stealing. Employers steal from their employees by asking them to work hours that they're not compensated for, you know. The government might be, you know, said to be stealing from us with regard to unjust tax laws and all those kinds of things. Yes, Stephen.
I'm vacillated back and forth on giving money to people, asking for money on the curb.
Yeah.
The intersection. My wife and I have both taken, you know, we've both taken the opposite sides, and it says, you know, well, if I or for example, the collection plate. Well, don't put cash in it. Put a check. No one can skip, not saying anything. when you give cash to anyone, I'm starting to come around to the viewpoint of let it go. It's between them and God what they do with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes it's like, well, it seems kind of obviously like this doesn't quite fit stealing, but it kind of does.
Well, I yeah. People walk in the door here and they ask for money because they need gas money to get to, they're driving to Mexico and they only have one tank of gas. You know, all I need is one tank of gas and that's not going to get you to Mexico, you know, kind of thing. So there is a lot of that. I remember the night that I was installed here at Beverly Heights. I think I started the 1st of November, and I was installed about the middle of December. We had an evening program here, a lot of people. And just as I was leaving the office to go into the sanctuary with a number of the elders, there was this huge man standing out in the hallway outside my office. And he was going by. He saw that there were a lot of people there. And he said, hey, listen, I need some help. You know? really like at this, you know, at this particular moment. I think you just have to, you have to just use the Spirit-inspired judgment and wisdom that he blesses you with at that particular point in time. I've helped out individuals with giving them money. If you were to ask me, you know, are they gonna buy a sandwich with that, or are they gonna buy booze, you know? So I stopped that right from the beginning. So when individuals came in, and they came in a lot here when I was here, they said, you know, I'm hungry, I don't have any food. I would say, okay, let's get in the car. We'll go down to McDonald's and we'll get some. No, I'm not going to do that. And we stopped giving out cash for gas money, and had some gas cards here so that individuals could use it. So you just have to, I think you have to be wise about it. And then ultimately leave the outcome to the up to the Lord. You know, this person who says he needs something, this is an opportunity that needs to be managed. You know, it's one of the things that we manage. It has, God was not surprised by it. And so now, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? You know, and sometimes the answer is, I'm sorry, we can't help. And other times, you know, we do, and we leave the outcome. We leave the outcome to him. And there are individuals in the congregation when I were here who wanted to be sure that we had some resources here to help out people. So I could think of five people who typically at the end of the year, in December, would send in money specifically for the pastor's discretionary fund. You know what? They designated that. Why? So that I could be free to help individuals as I saw opportunities, you know, so to do. Problem, of course, is that there's a whole system of panhandling. And so one person walks in the door here. Well, they were at Southminster before that and Mount Lebanon UP before that and the Lutheran Church in Dormont before that. And so we started calling people. You know, hey, so-and-so has just shown up. He's probably making his way down the street. So I would call Westminster and say, just so that you know, just so that you know. There's a lot of that going on. So all that doesn't proceed from faith is sin. Lord, what would you have me to do now? And leave the outcome to him while trying to demonstrate some wisdom, you know, as well. We've had some unbelievable cases here where typically a man and a woman will drive up, and the woman always comes in because she does a better sob story than the man. He's sitting outside. You know, they don't have any money at all. He's smoking cigarettes and he's eating a sandwich and all that kind of stuff. And so when someone comes into my office, they could sit down. And the first thing I'll do is I'll walk into the office and look out the window, you know. So you get, you develop a little bit of wisdom and a second sense about that as well. But again, Lord, what would you have me do? How can I show love for my neighbor? How can I show honor to you, recognizing that this thing that I'm holding in my hand that could help an individual is not mine. It's not the person who gave it to me. It's yours. And my burden now is to manage that. So some people think, gee, it must be nice to have money to be able to just help individuals. It's a burden. It really is. It takes a lot of time. It does take a lot of time. To know a little bit about the background and the story, to listen to the story, to ask the kinds of questions that we'll get at whether or not this is a true deal or not. Okay. Next week, never lie. Never lie. Okay. And then do not covet. What is the what's the name of the fellow who is was Randy's former partner, Denny Hutchinson? Okay. At Peters Creek Church 2 weeks ago, the secretary came up to me and she said, "You know what?" She said, you might want to mention that today is Denny Hutchison's birthday. So now, he's a member at Peters Creek. He used to be a business partner of Randy's, and he's the father of Annie Whitehead. Yeah. So really super, super guy. So I just got done, finished preaching a sermon, which essentially, I had to put together overnight, which essentially was the 10 questions that were in the last Between Sundays article that I wrote. And one of the questions is it true? So, you know, I was thundering on about that and the other 9 points, and we got to the end of the service, and just before the benediction, I said, I wanted to underscore for you, give you the opportunity to wish a happy birthday to Denny Hutchison, who today is 39 years old. And then I said, you know, I couldn't even get to the end of the service without lying. That's not true. At any rate, well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll help us not to take lightly this whole matter of robbing from others, and most importantly, from you. We can see how a lack of good stewardship does in fact rob you of your glory and your honor and your praise. And we ask that you would forgive us for that. Cause us not to take lightly at all, or to see just taking one little thing as if it doesn't matter. So that we might glorify you, Lord, as we know how you would have us to live, and that by your Holy Spirit you help us to do it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.